Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Spatula for the Stars. When I'm dead and civilization eventually collapses, this spatula will remain. It will be the only rune uncovered by some unknown species of the future upon which they base their assumptions of our existence.
Eggs!
They will posit.
These extinct people like to eat their eggs! And this was their primary tool for cooking them. Let us teleport and put this device in the Milky Way exhibit.
5 stars, Zachary. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
I'm John Batchelor with my very good colleague, Kevin Fraser, who's guiding me through a world that I do not understand, which is law and regulation when it comes to scientific, or in this case, technical advance, artificial intelligence. Again, I emphasize, I am consuming products now that were only on the drawing board a year ago. This is not falling behind in that the large language models and the companies that are competing for your attention are out front of me now, but I'm where they were in the spring of 24, 23. What I see is a childlike need to please. That's what I get out of Grok. With Claude, it's like you live your life next to the Chicago Style book. And if you split an infinitive, you will be punished. That's Claude. Gemini, as Ara of Grok says of Gemini, that's the corporate mentality. That's all you'll get out of her. All right. There's competition here, but it's winning competition. It's charming. And if you're working by yourself at night and you're trying to put together a report that is credible and you have many different sources, AI doesn't give you the right answer. It allows you to breathe a little bit and compare and contrast what you think and what AI thinks from its large language model. It only knows what we know. It doesn't know anything more. Kevin, am I making an obvious point?
And John, you're hitting on the nose.
do the regulators not want to know this?
So what's happening here, John, is we're misunderstanding what AI is really for. And this, unfortunately, is a result of some of the hype we've seen in the AI space, where some folks are already saying AI can solve this problem. It can introduce this new utopian world, so on and so forth. What's critical is that our public policy be grounded in the actual use cases of AI. And here I want to focus not only on large language models, but the world models that are going to improve autonomous vehicles, Meta's SAM model, which helps precisely identify issues in images such as medical scans, and all of the other AI use cases we're not talking about. These things are born by having a true understanding of the technology and actually engaging with startups and talking to technologists and talking to AI engineers. Those sorts of connections aren't happening right now. Unfortunately, state governments, as well-intentioned as they are, and I've worked for two of them, I know they want to do right by their people. But in terms of technological capacity, you don't see a ton of AI experts, for example, walking around Des Moines. You don't find many of them in Boise. And so a lot of these conversations are just being guided by hunches and perceptions. And what we need is to foster a more dynamic relationship between the startups that are actively using AI to improve society and the lawmakers who definitely want to make sure they're taking care of cost considerations and quality of life considerations.
You have a warning in your essay at Civitas Outlook. I recommend everybody read it. I don't know what paragraph it is, but it starts this way. We've seen what happens when litigation and junk science run wild in other contexts. Asbestos, small aircraft, tobacco, and pesticides. Those are catastrophes in the courts. For years, they make Dickens's story of tort going on for generations until there was nothing left. They make it look simple-minded compared to what's going on out there. I imagine those cases are still being fought. Is that where we're headed, Kevin, unless somebody stops them?
Now, unfortunately, that is where we're headed unless we see Congress act in this field and provide a national framework that President Trump has called for on numerous occasions. What we need here is to make sure that Congress, given its role to regulate interstate commerce, does just that. And it helps clarify the rules of the road for the development of frontier AI models. Now, critically, John, that leaves space for state regulators, for state attorneys general, for example, to enforce consumer protection laws, to continue to prohibit fraud. All of those generic laws, all of those laws focused on the end use of AI would still apply. What we need from Congress is that sort of national framework that gives labs and regulators clarity over how we're going to see AI evolve in the coming years and decades.
I want to give the audience a vision of what we're talking about. You have one word. I'd never seen it before I read your column. What is robophobia?
Oh, robophobia is fear of robots, in short, John, right? It's this idea that we've been bombarded with cultural tidbits, movies, books that say we have to fear robots, that have infused this sort of technophobia, right? Fear of technology into so many parts of society. And yet, John, we know that as technology progresses, the GDP grows. And as the GDP grows, society tends to flourish. Now, there are very real trade-offs in that progression. And we need to be honest and open about making sure that our transition to new technological eras is as smooth as possible. And I'm working with lawmakers right now on how to help those folks who are economically displaced by AI and related technologies. But the key is not treating that as a reason to put a hammer to the head of AI progress.
There is a law in Congress right now, the AI LEAD Act, a federal bill by Dick Durbin of Illinois and Josh Hawley of Missouri. In other words, it's a bipartisan presentation. Is this something that Congress is taking up now, or is this prospective in 26?
I think this is generally going to be an issue that gets picked up in 2026. Right now, all of the energy and all of the attention is where I think it should be. And this is on the push for Congress to advise and adopt a national framework for AI regulation. President Trump has doubled down on his stance that that's the right way forward. And we're seeing that a growing coalition is backing this idea that we need national clarity and shouldn't have states going on a patchwork approach.
That's what's happening in the U.S. The EU is another galaxy away. Does their admission that they messed this up, does that help stop Congress from messing it up? We have 30 seconds.
I certainly hope that people are looking to the EU and seeing that when you regulate out of fear, when you try to regulate a dynamic technology with static laws, you're only setting yourself up and your population for failure. And so I hope state lawmakers take note of that and Congress does as well.
Kevin Fraser is an AI motivation and law fellow at the University of Texas School of Law, and he's co-host of the podcast Scaling Laws. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.